So last week felt like fire, just boom. Just felt the anointing. And still feel the anointing, but it's a sweet presence of God right now. Just feel, do you feel the peace? The calmness? Somebody in here is going through some storms, and there's a peace with God. Pray that we continue this atmosphere. Holy Spirit, have your way. Whatever you want to do tonight. Not what I expected, but who cares what I think. If you weren't here in the beginning, my name is Pastor Harrison. I'm the lead pastor here. It's my honor today to keep teaching on our series titled Tipping Point. And this is week six, if you can believe it. We started it last month, and God gave me a vision, gave me some material, and I was very excited about it. And if you weren't able to listen or join in with us last week, either Saturday or Sunday, it is recorded on Facebook Live or YouTube Live. Pastor Sonny, we got some ringing up here. I don't know if there's other mics on or what. Thank you. We're at the tipping point, church, in our world on so many subjects. Ooh, that's much better. Amen. Wow. Sounds so much better. I don't know what that was. I must die in the name of Jesus. So many subjects right now, we're at the tipping point. Now, some of you have lived much longer than I. You have. I'm 38. You've lived longer than me. And in your honest opinion, have you ever felt such unrest in America? Everyone says no, but I see one head shaking yes. No, okay. The only thing I was thinking, maybe in the 60s with Martin Luther King Jr. and the chaos there and the Ku Klux Klan and just the absolute distress in America. That was a lot, but man, now we have a pandemic on top of it all. You can just feel, right? Just feel it. So many things in our world right now are ready to tip over in a horrific direction. We're just talking about that, right? He said, it's no wonder in the word that in the end times that America is not mentioned. Although you could say the young lions, that one part that talks about, it's a glimpse of whatever. And that's because we're just acting a fool, right? America is so entitled. We don't want to do anything for what we think we deserve. And here we are. We expect these great things to happen, believers, but what are we doing about it? What are we doing about it? See, so many things feel like they're going to tip over in a horrific direction. I've heard many people out of their own mouths, even today, I've heard, why would you even have children right now? Do you not know how horrible it is? In my opinion, I'm like, I don't get that. Do you not know the bloodline you're from? Why would you cut it off? I mean, have 15 children and raise them up in the Lord. We need more of that. You don't cut it off. That's how you kill that. That's what the enemy does. That's what's called abortion. That's murder, right? So there's so many things right now we feel like are going in a horrific direction, but there's also many things I believe are going to go in a very favorable and incredible outcome is going to come very soon. Very soon. But must there be a collapse? Potentially. But tell me, in a better time than ever than when you're on your knees or when you hit rock bottom, all you can do is look up. About time America needs to maybe look up. And if they're not going to look up because they're too busy looking at themselves, maybe they need to fall into a pit so they can look up. So they can actually reach out and be rescued. We need to search God's written word. Seek his wisdom from his spirit in prayer. If you're wondering what the theme this month will be, it'll be very, very simple. Fervent prayer. We're going to seek God's will through fervent prayer. Seek God's will through fervent prayer and reading his word. We must know what God is doing, and not only must we know it. See, this is where we've gotten to a problem, church, is we know God's will and then we do nothing about it. We've shut our mouths. We've closed our hands and we've tied our shoes together, tripping over ourselves all the time because we don't even know what we're talking about. We need to search God's written word, seek his wisdom from the Spirit of the living God in prayer, and do God's will. So we're going to push with fervent prayer this month. The way to tip things over is through fervent prayer. James 5:16 says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. Pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Fervent prayer, do you know what that means? Passionate intensity. It's not the quiet little prayer, no, I'm praying to myself right now. It's passionate intensity. That's what the word fervent means when James put it in his book. Hot, burning, or glowing. If we want to go in the right directions, God's people everywhere must come together in prayer and war in the Spirit fervently. So I'm preaching on fervent, man. You got to do some fervent flow. Come on, give me some fervent flow. So last night, the outreach team, the missions team, they came. We had a massive outreach this morning. It's our biggest one we do all year, the backpack giveaway. But it's not just a backpack giveaway. Each backpack has a name, a school, and the supplies that they need. And then last night they came and they anointed every single one of them. All of them. 346, is that right? 346, right? With fervent prayer. They said they're going to come and pray. I'm like, oh, cool. Man, they were there a couple hours. I don't know what y'all did. Laying out in the Spirit or something. I don't know. Putting them on and falling out. I'm not sure, but they, fervent prayer. They prayed over them because it means something when we come together, church. It is so important. Read it all over God's word. We were never meant to just hang out on a Saturday or a Sunday. And it, like, I could maybe call out a few of you and say, tell me that person's middle name. Tell me that person how many kids they have. Tell me where they're from, where they grew up. Tell me anything about them. And we couldn't do it because we've treated church as a club. But that's not what it was intended for. How do you pray for someone when you don't know anything about them? How much more powerful would it be if you knew all about their life and you could pray by name, specific things they're going through, how long they've been going through them, and you can do it fervently with strength and power. In the first church, Book of Acts, they didn't just come together weekly. They lived together. They knew everything about each other. This is not just a social club or family. Family prays for one another fervently. And if you're going through something, we need to fight for each other, with each other. And right now, everybody in this room, you are facing something. It's called COVID-19. It's called racial divide. It's called the economy. It's called a soon upcoming division with a vote of our president. We are living in days that must be bathed in prayer together. Amen? Last week, I first taught on the authority in Christ. You have to know who you are in Jesus before you can do anything with him. Right? If you don't know whose authority that you are under, you won't know how to pray. And if you don't know how to pray, then you don't know how to go to war. And if you don't know how to go to war, then you'll never win any battles. Last week I taught on preparation in prayer. Today I'm teaching on activation in prayer. We'll be setting aside time tonight. There's six items that we're going to dig into for prayer, and we're going to apply what we've learned. And tonight, led by the Holy Spirit, we're going to take three of those items, and and we're going to dig deep, and we're going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead us, and we're going to resist making these three and then eventually six items routine or ritualistic. What is being ritualistic? It's when you're more concerned about the practice than you are the person. Right? Anybody come from a traditional background? Yeah, I see hands raised. And that probably hurt to do that in church. Oh, come on now. Now I'm telling jokes, right? Just a nod. Just a two-hand clap. I grew up in a very traditional church. And a lot of times we were more concerned about the ritual than we were why we were actually doing it. What were we doing it for? We cannot turn these things into just a ritualistic habit. We need to focus on who and what it is for. Today I'm going to teach again on the first three items of prayer so we can listen and follow the Holy Spirit and apply this to our lives and follow His will. Today's teaching is going to help you create an atmosphere of humility, submission, and obedience to the Holy Spirit in your life. Okay, next one. As you go through this process, we need to ask ourselves, how fast will you listen, and then how quickly will you obey the Holy Spirit? So the purpose, I'll go back. The purpose of this ministry skill is to learn how to converse with God so we can participate in what He is doing. Practically, this happens as we hear and then obediently respond to the Holy Spirit. This process of being led by the Holy Spirit starts with and is sustained. It starts with and will continue through prayer and the Word of God. Prayer and the Word of God. You want to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit? Pray and read the Word of God. Pray and read the Word of God. You must pray and read the Word of God, or you'll never know what God is doing and you'll never participate in His will. Next slide. See, we connect. This is the first one. Preparation of your heart. Connecting with God. Okay, the way that you connect with God is we focus upon Him. We have to thank Him for what He has done and praise Him for who He is. Remember last week I said, it's like me walking into your house. I knock on the door, you don't answer. So I fling it open and I say, hey, I want some dessert. I want some food, right? Hey, can I sleep over? Can I hang out? Like, can you turn on the TV to some basketball? I mean, I just start demanding all this stuff. And that's how we've come as Christians to God. We fling open the door of prayer and we just demand all this stuff. And we haven't said, hey, thanks for letting me come over tonight. I appreciate it. Your house is beautiful. It's wonderful. Thank you. Wow, it smells really great in here. And oh, you keep a really nice home. And hey, it just feels really nice. There's a good presence in here. And how are you doing? And thank you again for having me come. See, it's those things that welcome you into His presence, welcome you into the house of God. And we connect with God when we focus upon Him, thanking Him for what He has done and praising Him for who He is. The Word says in Psalm 100, 4 through 5, it says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. Psalm 95:2, let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. So this is what we're going to do, church, right? And then we'll do this, and then once the 5 minutes is up, then you can just stop, and then I'll have you come back and do it. Just stay there, but then flow just in between breaks. This is what we're going to do for the next 5 minutes. We're going to do exactly what I just said on your own, right? And now people are uncomfortable, and you're welcome. It's my job. I'm a shepherd. If I just let you eat wherever you want to eat, you're going to eat everything up, and then you'll have nothing to eat. I got to take you to a new pasture, right? That's where we're going. We're going to a new pasture. We're stepping out, right? There's better grass right over there. Let's all go together. Let's do this. Next 5 minutes, this is what I want you to do on your own, to activate and apply this directly to your life. There's no better place than to practice prayer than in God's presence in His church, in the house of prayer. You probably won't be able to do it out there any better than you'll do it in here. This is a great place to be equipped to do the works of ministry. Great place to put on the armor. Great place to be healed and set free. This is a great place to practice what we want to preach. So tonight, He's just going to flow for about 5 minutes. And your job right here, right now, for this is literally, we're going to leave this up, is to focus on these verses and to focus on God and prepare your heart to connect with God by giving him thanks and praise. Do it out loud if you must. Do it quietly. Maybe write it down. Whatever you must do, it's just you and God for the next 5 minutes. And we'll lower the lights. And then I'm going to come back up. And then I'm going to keep teaching. And we're going to do something else. And then we're going to do something else. And then we're going to go home soon. Okay? Right now, just you and God. Just give him thanks. Enter his courts with thanksgiving and praise. Enter his house by telling him how much you love him, how much you appreciate him, and all he's doing. 5 minutes. Ready?
God, we thank you and we praise you and we exalt you, Lord God, for who you are. We thank you, Father God, that you are the King of all kings. You are the Lord of all lords. You are the great I am. You are the one true God, the maker of heaven and earth. You are the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the great I am. There is none like you, Father God. There never has been and there never will be. No matter how the enemy tries to be like you, he wants to be you. He wants to be where you are, Lord God. He will never be you. He will never be you. There is none like you, Father God. And we exalt you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord God, for your faithfulness, for your unfailing love and your great compassion. We exalt you, Father God, for you are worthy of all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Hallelujah. Have you entered into God's courts? Feel like you're walking into his presence? Amen. Amen. All right, this is right, here's where you stop. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So now, this next one we're going to teach on is preparation in prayer. So this is preparation of your heart confessing our sins. We respond to God and we confess our sins so we can be forgiven and cleansed. This is important to do. How often do you believe we should do this? Every day, continuously, constantly, absolutely, all those things. If you're married in here, or even if you have family members, can you imagine saying it on your wedding day, I love you, and then you never said it again? It doesn't work that way. That's what people think about forgiveness, is that you say this prayer and God forgives you and then you never have to confess a sin again, like you never have to talk to him again about it. But we need to respond to God every day, constantly, and we need to ask for forgiveness of our sins. Not only what we've done, Jesus always takes it a step further. I'm reminded of the lust, right? You might have not slept with that person, but you thought about it, or you thought, you know, with lust in your heart. If you have lust in your heart, it's just as bad as if you did the act, according to Jesus. So not only do you confess your sins, but confess your mindset and the things that are in your mind, right, that are not like God. See, we can do this. We cannot do this by ourselves. We have to confess our sins. We can never get past our sins on our own. So what the word of God says, that we must do this either by ourselves to confess to him, or we do it in a group setting, or even you can do it with one other person. You confess your sins. And he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins, right? God forgives us this way, and then he heals us this way, right? When we talk to each other, he heals us. We confess our sins to one another, he heals us. He forgives us this way, and then we can be healed that way. So I'm going to read these verses, and then Brent's going to play for another 5 minutes or so, and we're going to get on our own, and we're going to do this on our own. We're going to confess our sins. Psalm 139, 23 and 24 says, "Search me, O God. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there's be any grievous way," another version of that, "any wicked way, any evil way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Lead me eternally. Lead me in the things that are like you, God, and not the sin that is in my heart." 1 John 1, 8 and 9. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." You want to be free tonight. You want to be washed clean. Even people in here today, the habitual sin that you've been in for years and years and years, the reason why is you haven't truly confessed it. You must confess it to God. You must say, "God, I've come to you in your courts with thanksgiving and praise for who you are and what you've done. I love you. And now here I am in your presence. And the only way I'm going to go any further with you is because you can't have sin in your presence. That's why we needed Jesus. But if I'm going to go any further with you, God, I must confess my sins so you can wash me as white as snow. So I can confess those things. And it says, you can cleanse me from all unrighteousness. You make me righteous in Jesus. You take off these filthy rags that I carry around every day full of sin and gross, nasty stuff. And you wrap me in a robe, a white robe, and you put a ring on my hand and you make me clean, God. And he can do that, but you have to do something as well. Confess your sins to him. God, forgive me. Forgive me what I did earlier. Forgive me what I'm thinking about now. Forgive me of this anger I have in me and this frustration. Forgive me of my lust and forgive me of my I'm being greedy or whatever it is that's going on. You just ask God to forgive you. I'm telling you, he will break the chains. He will break the chains of that. So we're going to take the next 5 minutes and we're going to do that on our own. We're going to activate and apply this directly to our life. So right where you're at, and if you feel like you have somebody that's comfortable with you coming next to them, talk to each other about the sins. Pray for each other right now. It says it'll forgive us of those sins and heal us. So go ahead and let's do that for the next 5 minutes. Thank you, Brent. Lord, your word says in 2 Timothy 3, it says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. Lord, forgive us. We're like these people. It says people will be lovers of themselves. Forgive us, God, when we love ourselves more than you. Lovers of money. God, if we love money more than we should, if it rules and reigns in our life, Lord, boastful. We are boastful or proud. But forgive us if when we're abusive, disobedient to our parents or to people in authority. Ungrateful. We're not grateful for the things that we have and what we've walked through, and God, that you've protected us. Forgive us when we're unholy and without love. We're unforgiving, slanderous, and without self-control. Lord, forgive us when we're brutal and not lovers of good. We're treacherous, rash, and conceited. Lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lord, that's the world we live in. Forgive us of that, especially us as believers have fallen into that trap. And God, most of all, because we go to church and we know what it's like, God, forgive us of the times that we have a form of godliness, but we deny your power. Father, forgive us. We confess these sins to you now, and it says that you are faithful and just to forgive us of these things and cast off our unrighteousness. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And the last thing we're going to learn, so the first one we learned about giving thanksgiving and praise, go into his presence with thanksgiving and praise. And then we just learned about confessing our sins, and God is going to heal us of those and cleanse us. And that way we can set those things off. And that's for this next one. We're going to prepare our hearts to put on Christ. So we cast off the works of darkness so we can be conformed into the image of Christ. I'm going to read these verses. I'm going to say a few things, and then we're going to do this again together. It says in God's word in Romans chapter 13, 12, 13, and 14 verses, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. God's word tells us that even Paul beat himself into submission. That doesn't mean he's like beating himself like some heretical things teach. But what he was doing is beating his flesh by allowing his spirit to rise up over that. Pick up your cross daily. Die daily. That's what that's talking about. Die to your flesh and choose the will of God over your own will. Ephesians 4. 22 through 24, to put off your old self, which belongs to the former matter of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on a new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. I want to ask a question. I got this right before I came in. Have your addictions become your own health? Like you don't know how to even function without your addictions. It's become your health. If so, it's time to get a second opinion and visit the great physician. You have to put on Christ to cast off specific deeds of the flesh and replace them with godly attributes. What do I mean by that? Let me give you some examples. Love replaces fear. Peace replaces anxiety. Purity replaces perversion. Humility replaces pride. And compassion replaces judgment. These are the things that naturally come to us and that you naturally have to cast off and put on Christ and do differently. So we're going to take the next 5 minutes. And you can think of things right away. When I started talking, it right away came right to your mind. It's something that maybe you deal with, or maybe it's a mindset that you have that you need to cast off. What does that mean? Just take it off and throw it away, right? Just get rid of it and put on Christ. Lord, I deal with a lot of fear and and perfect love gets rid of, casts out fear. Right? God, I am fearful. I need your love. Let me put on Christ and his love and get rid of my fear. Here's my fears. Boom, 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 boom. Give me love, give me love, give me love, and all those things. If you have anxiety, full of, and this is a world full of anxiety, popping pills for every ailment you can think of. The peace of God, may the peace of God, the Prince of Peace, come into your life and help you and cast off that anxiety. Perversion. You know, the devil can never actually create. Sex is created by God. Satan takes it and he twists it. That's how he perverts it. It's created by God. And one of the greatest things in America that is perverted is sex. The devil has taken sex and perverted it and then exploited it. And then it's become normal and natural. And it's everywhere, all over the place. And it just becomes something. If there's perversion in your life, ask for God's purity to purify you. If you're a prideful person, ask for God's humility. And let me tell you from experience, if you don't ask for humility now, he'll give it to you later. You better get on your knees before he knocks you to them. And the last one I explained was judgment. Christians may be the worst in the entire world to be judgmental. As if we are greater. If anything, we need to realize, like Paul said, we are less. We're less. We just happen to know the answer. When, now that you know the answer, you know even how worse than you were that you knew you were before, right? You thought you were great before. Now you know Christ, and now you realize how bad it really is and how much we really need him. And that's not to cripple us. That's to strengthen us. And so that judgment, there's only one on the throne. There's only one judge, and that ain't you. Take off the robe and give it back to Jesus and let him be the judge. Be full of compassion, right? Speak truth and let God deal with it. Amen? So whatever you are facing tonight, take the next 5 minutes and let's just dig into God and pray.
Father, we thank you that in the courtrooms of heaven we have an adversary, that you are our adversary, that you, Lord, are fighting on our behalf. Father, when we bring our sins before you, Lord, they are as filthy rags. And Lord, we must confess, and the hardest thing is to bring them before you. But Lord, when you look at us, you see us as a finished product. You see us as what you created us to be, and you never take your eyes off us. Lord, we owe you so much. May we, Lord, do according to your word. May we come daily and confess our sins, knowing, Lord, that when we confess them, that we are preparing a place that you can come in deeper. Father, and you replace them, Lord, with holiness and purity. Father, when we come in deeper, we must give more of ourselves. Help us to be willing. Father, I just pray that no matter where we are in our relationship with you, that we never quit growing. And Lord, if there's anyone in this room, including myself, Lord, that's quit growing because we're holding on to something that we think is impossible for you to forgive, help us to remember that you died a severe death so that we not only could be saved, but we could be delivered, healed, and whole. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy.
Tonight, will you show that last slide, please? Tonight, I was teaching, and we were practicing. We were not just preparing in prayer, we were practicing in prayer, connecting with God with thanksgiving and praise. And we confessing our sins and responding to the Holy Spirit's conviction. Lord, he brings something to us, we confess it. And he forgives us and cast it off. And then we put on Christ to cast off the flesh and replace it with godly attributes. So you walk into God's courts with thanksgiving and praise, and you confess your sins. And the thing about confession is you can have, you can do a 180 and go away from it, but the only way you're going to do that is to put on Christ. Cast off the flesh and replace it with God's attributes. In 2 weeks, we're going to touch base on the next three items: putting on God's armor, establishing God's kingdom authority, and then responding to God. So that's what I wanted to teach tonight, is those three things. I want to pray for us before we go. If you want that slide right there that gives us a breakdown, it's already on your email. If you have an email, we already sent it today to you. You can print it off. Or it's on Facebook, you can print it off there. If you don't have either one of those, on your way out in the information center, I printed off a bunch of those so you can have one. Please take one as you go. I try my very best not to do that because of COVID and all the rules and regulations. We try to go digital as much as we can, but I realize some of you may not have printers or maybe aren't real good at being savvy on email or Facebook. So I wanted to make sure that you had that as you go. Practice this for the next 2 weeks. Practice the first three. Just keep going into God's presence. Keep doing that. And I'm telling you, it's going to change your prayer life. It'll change it forever. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, God. We thank you that your presence is so sweet. Your word says that we fervently come to you. I don't feel like it's too fiery or just like we would think here on earth that we would just be like yelling and going after you. But God, your kingdom's an upside-down kingdom. And although it may not fleshly look like we are fervently praying, there are people in here that fervently prayed like they've never before. And I thank you for that. They came to you with strength and boldness, Lord. And I thank you for being able to walk into your presence, that this is a house of prayer, and it truly was. And if there's anybody in here tonight, first off, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, and you wonder, what are these people praying about and who are they praying to? There's this man named Jesus that for thousands of years there was these prophecies that he would come, known as the Messiah, the promised one. the one that is going to take away the sins of the world, the Lamb of God, the only one that you could come to and you could gain access to heaven, not only in heaven, but heaven on earth. His name is Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus as Savior, maybe you've fallen away from him and you want to come back to him, if that's you tonight, it says in God's word, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. If that's you tonight, will you raise your hand? I just want to agree with you in prayer that you want to rededicate your life to Christ, or maybe it's the first time. Amen. Now, Lord, I want to ask something. Holy Spirit, I pray right now for an anointing upon each and every person in here tonight. An anointing like never before. I pray that you rock their prayer life. Rock their life with something that they've learned tonight and a practice that will take them further into your courtroom, further into your presence. Take them somewhere they've never been before. God, I thank you for the journey of God. That it's more than just a Sunday, a Saturday, a service. It's a daily walk. It's all the time. It is in your presence. Teach us how to pray. That's what your disciples said, Jesus. They didn't care about preaching. They didn't care about anything other than teach us, Jesus, how to pray. And God, as we get deeper in your prayers, in your presence, God, I pray that you anoint them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet. May they feel the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. May you lead them. Lead them. God, I pray that you rock their life right now. I pray for everybody in here that their life gets rocked in either visions or dreams. Visions or dreams. Visions or dreams. Wake them up in the middle of the night. They got to write something down. God, that you gave them something. They don't have to understand it, but it's there. Give them a vision or a dream. Vision or a dream. God, it says in the last days, you're going to pour out your spirit upon all men and women, and there will be visions and dreams, signs, wonders, and miracles. But Lord, we don't want that if we don't know what to do with it. We must have your presence. So God, I pray that as they go deeper with their prayer life, give them visions and dreams. Visions and dreams. Put something upon their heart. And just like you brought to my attention, the ones that are greedy, make them generous. Give them visions and dreams and to go out and do something generous. It doesn't always mean money. Sometimes it's time or words. Be generous with what God wants to do in someone else's life and in your own life. Lord, we love you. We praise you. God, thank you for empowering us to do your will. In Jesus' mighty and glorious name, God's church said, amen. We love you. Feel free to pray for people outside when you leave. Whatever you want to do, we love you, and we're super excited to go deeper with this in our prayer lives. Were you blessed tonight? Amen. Did you learn a little bit more, go a little bit deeper with God? Amen. Amen. We love you. Have a good night.